Looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change? Wishing you could keep the faith? Longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Everybody, welcome to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. It's a wonderful Monday in the neighborhood. And we got some crazy tunage from Barb today because I don't believe that Barbaloo knew the topic of today's show. So she's winging it. How fun. So I have no idea what she's going to play either. I'm just as much, it's as much a mystery to me as it is to all of you. So today's show is about the law of non-resistance. So if you've got a situation that's challenging or something that doesn't seem to be getting better no matter what you try to do, give me a call, 877-230-3062. Let's take a look at how you might be resisting your good. Again, the number's 877-230-3062. Want to give a little shout out to my listeners on 106.9 HD3 in Seattle. And I also want to invite you to go to the host page on contacttalkradio.com and on the right side, click on iTunes to subscribe to the show. You can rate this show, you can write a review, and just gives us a great little picture of who all is listening. And the archives of this show, you will always be able to find at michellemorgan.org, that's Michelle with one L, morgan.org, on my radio show page. We get those shows up on the archives several days after they're on the air. If there's a topic you want me to cover, I would love to hear from you. In fact, we've got a whole three or four shows coming up that are all listener-inspired. So you can send me an email off of my website, michellemorgan.org, or you can shoot me a message on my Facebook fan page. And how do you find me on Facebook? Well, you can go to michellemorgan.org and you can click on the links box on the right side of any page and it'll take you straight in to Facebook and you can get all signed up and do that cool fun thing. So we are going to dive straight into the cosmic critter because boy howdy do we have a lot to talk about today. So Dr. Doolittle, are you in?
I can walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals. And they can squeak and squawk and speak and talk to me.
Animal Spirit Guides, Dr. Stephen Farmer. He has a show on this station, 4 p.m. Thursdays, Earth Magic Radio. Well, again, we're doing the birds. The birds, it's birds constantly. Today's bird is very fascinating. It's the turkey. If turkey shows up, it means it's important to transcend the focus on your needs, to consider the greater needs of the whole, such as your family, community, or the world. You're about to receive a gift of some sort, material, spiritual, or intellectual, that could be anything from winning the lottery to a simple gift, such as witnessing a beautiful sunset. Perform some act that honors the earth, whether a sacred ceremony or simply picking up trash. And finally, volunteer your time in selfless service for some organization that you want to support. Turkey gobbled into our lives today. Can't wait to hear how that shows up for you over the next week. So we're going to take a really short break. When we come back, we are going to dive into the law of non-resistance. We've got some people on the phone lines. It's going to be a great show. I'm glad you're with me. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. Don't go away. Turn it up.
satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
If you've got a question for Michelle, give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
Hey everyone, this is Michelle Morgan, host of Living on a Prayer, Mondays at noon Pacific here on Contact Talk Radio. You've heard me talk over and over again about belief systems, how they determine and control everything we create in our lives. Well, if you're finally ready to break your old limiting patterns so you can have the life that you really want, consider CSI. I developed the CSI program to change you at the deepest levels by finding the foundation of your patterns and creating permanent change where it will count the most. With CSI, you no longer have to try and do things differently in your life. You'll be different, and everything else will follow. Same old, or new, true you. You decide. Go to michellemorgan.org to find out more about the CSI program. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org. We're back. Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan, and we are talking about the law of non-resistance today. First of all, let's define law. A law is a working principle or a rule of action. Catherine Ponder says, Sir Isaac Newton said that there is one set of natural laws for the physical world. There are also higher mental and spiritual laws than those usually used on the physical plane of life. These higher mental and spiritual laws are so powerful that they can be used to multiply natural laws, neutralize natural laws, or even reverse natural laws. It is when these higher mental and spiritual laws are invoked through the mind of man that they often produce results that seem miraculous on the physical plane. The law of attraction is the most well-known spiritual law, thanks to Oprah. Man, when that hit mainstream, it was like everybody knows what the law of attraction is. And here's one of the reasons why the law of attraction is as well-known as it is. It's by far the most foundational spiritual law. In fact, you'll find it at the center of every other spiritual law, because the truth is, whatever energy you put out through your thoughts, words, and actions comes back to you multiplied. In witchcraft, they call that the threefold law. In Michelle Morgan land, we call that the tenfold law. Because I just always, you know, multiply everything bigger. So Florence Scovelshin, amazing woman, she wrote about the law of non-resistance in her book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. It was first published in 1925. And there's an entire chapter in that book on the law of non-resistance. And the opening line of that chapter says, nothing on earth can resist an absolutely non-resistant person. So I have to be honest. When I first read that, a part of me had a very visceral, immediate reaction that went something like this. I don't want to be irresistible to everything on earth. Thank you very much. I immediately pictured becoming a complete doormat, or at the very minimum, being totally susceptible to negative energy in situations. Those of you who know me, those of you who sort of know me, you know that I spent a long time in my life quite proud of my warrior nature. I am, after all, double Sagittarius. I was always taking on, quote unquote, things and people. And I was an absolute master at making things happen. And then the other piece of this you've heard me talk about. I've known too many people of the New Age persuasion that run around with that love, light, bliss, fantasy land approach to everything that is, to me, scary false and completely out of touch with reality. So those two aspects of my character really had a problem with this idea of non-resistance. However, understanding the nature of spiritual laws, as well as the dynamics of polarity, and having worked so long on my own belief systems, in fact, the ones that made me such a warrior, I was intrigued by this concept, to say the least. And at the time that that chapter appeared in my life, things were more challenging than I felt was truly necessary. And I really wanted to figure out a better way to do things. So the first thing I want to talk about is resistance. What do we mean when we're talking about resistance in this context? Well, let's just have a little chit-chat with Mr. Webster, shall we? Webster's dictionary defines resistance as, well, the word resist, to take a stand, to exert force in opposition, to exert oneself so as to counteract or defeat, and to withstand the force or effect of. And I'm sure that pretty much everybody listening has heard the saying, what you resist persists, right? So the usual first question regarding the law of non-resistance is, if you are non-resistant, does it mean that you just put up with things or become submissive to people and situations? A resounding heck no. First and most important of all, seriously, most important of all, these are spiritual laws. They're not human laws. So you have to be in partnership with God or they don't work. If you attempt non-resistance from a human perspective, first of all, you're going to be judging your circumstances through the filter of unconscious belief systems, fears, and outside influences. So good luck with that. You're not going to be able to, in a healthy and constructive way, be non-resistant if you're coming from your human perspective. But if you practice non-resistance as part of your spiritual path, then you're operating from grace rather than fear. There's an innate wisdom that goes along with that, and God will guide you to right action, including taking a stand or fighting if necessary. And little quick clarity on that, a true or quote-unquote good fight is actually an instinctual call to justice. It's not an ego thing. It's not a control issue. It's not an insecurity response, okay? It's an instinctual call to justice, and God will guide you to do that if necessary. By the way, this goes to the subject of creating boundaries, which is going to be an upcoming show, thanks to one of my fabulous listeners. True healthy boundaries are an energetic result of being connected to God and being in your core. They are not an exertion of will or a fight for your rights. God will literally move the hearts of others in your favor. Don't forget that. And he often takes problems right out of your hands. And if not, then he guides you to the perfect tools, perfect resources, the perfect actions to take in order to heal whatever troubling circumstance you face. So, the law of non-resistance is about not resisting the good that God has for you. All right? I really want to clarify that here because, again, most people's response to this idea of non-resistance is that they just kind of lay down and let things run over the top of them. But the law of non-resistance is about not resisting the good that God has for you. And we resist the good in both positive and negative situations through either an unwillingness to receive, there's your issues of worthiness, or by not recognizing that there is good in a situation. You know, sometimes in the midst of a really horrible thing, it's pretty hard to take a step back and go, oh yeah, there's good in this. But there's power in that recognition. Belief systems and family legacies play a key role in our ability to recognize, accept, and honor the good in any experience. That can be a very, very challenging thing. So we are actually going to jump to the phone lines. I would like to talk to Erica in Brazil for a minute. Are you there, sweetheart?
Yes, I am. Hi, Michelle.
How are you, babe?
I'm all right. I think the top today is great.
Thank you.
I just had one experience last week in which something good was being offered to me, and I feel some kind of resistance.
Okay.
Because I do have the dreams to return to U.S. and so on.
Right.
So it's like I don't know what to do.
And so the something good, when it showed up, is it something that seems
keep
like
me here
it will,
in a way?
Yeah, that will keep you from coming back to the States, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Or that's the way it appears. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And that's the key. That's the key piece right there. And I'm going to be talking here in a few minutes about all the different ways that we, in fact, resist our good. Real easy to do and not even realize you're doing it. So first of all, one of the things that I really want to be clear about is resistance is, there's a reason that we resist. Okay. There's always a reason that we resist. And there's two main reasons that we resist anything. First reason is that we're getting an intuitive hit that something is not quite right, or that something, you know, we need to at least take a look at something before we act on it, right? Or we resist based on a belief system that's limiting. So you might ask, how in the heck do you know the difference? Well, that's where God comes in. This is, I'm not kidding you, the only way that you can truly make any conscious, constructive decisions in your life, in my opinion, is to allow God to guide you to make those decisions. Because otherwise, as a human being, I mean, Erica, don't you agree with me? Isn't it so? It's so easy to get completely wrapped around the axle about even the smallest things these days, because there's so much information, things are changing so fast, and there's so much fear out there, right?
Yes.
So it's easy to get kind of caught up in things and not have clarity. Isn't that true?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So in your situation, what I would highly recommend that you do, and I'm sure you're already doing this, but I'm going to just give you a little nudge in this direction again, is to be praying for absolute clarity on exactly what you need to do in this situation. Okay. So when do you have to make a decision about this?
On the middle of March, I have to visit an office in the big city and see if I want it or not.
Okay. Cool. So you got a couple weeks here. That's awesome. I would tell you to do nothing but pray over the next few weeks for absolute clarity on this and the willingness to receive that absolute clarity. Jump on my Facebook fan page. I know you're on there. And go to the archives in the boxes, you know, where I list all the prayers and things. And a number of shows back, I did the prayer of absolute clarity. And that's a really powerful little prayer to use. Because the bottom line is you want God to make this really obvious for you. So you can know whether or not you're resisting it because it really isn't on your path, or you're resisting it because some part of you doesn't want your dreams to come true.
Definitely, and I see too that if I stay here, my soulmate might be over there in U.S. So,
right,
that is this little piece on the table too.
Sure, sure. But here's the really important reason why God's got to be involved in this, because you don't have a clue what this might be unfolding into. You might get this great job, this opportunity to stay where you are. That is, in fact, a doorway to get you to the States in the perfect way, the most extraordinary way. You get to bypass all of the gobbledygook you might have to go through otherwise. It might be the exact thing that's going to catapult you into your dreams coming true. And it's so, and this is, again, I'm going to be talking specifics about this here in a minute. It's so crucial that we don't resist God's messages to us and his guidance to us, because we can't possibly know what he's got up his sleeve. Okay. That's where the faith piece comes in. That's where the trust piece comes in. And I promise you, sweetheart, guaranteed, stake my entire life and reputation on this next statement. If you ask for absolute clarity from God, he does not whisper. He does not play games. He doesn't have three cups and you have to find the ball. Okay? He will make it so clear that there's no way, unless you just stubbornly refuse to see the message, there's no way you can miss it. If you're praying on a daily basis and you are cultivating your intimate relationship with God, there's no way in the world you're going to miss his guidance. Okay?
Okay.
So promise me you'll do that.
Yes.
All right.
I promise.
And I want to hear from you. Seriously, either give me a holler back on the show in another few weeks, or I want you to at least send me a message on Facebook. I want to find out what happens with this.
Okay, I will.
All right, sweetheart. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Wow. Powerful stuff. It's how do you tell the difference? You know, how do you know if it's fear or if it's intuition? Well, you got to ask God. Barb's raising her hand over here. She's having a little conniption fit. Okay, girl, speak.
Clarity. Okay, so you ask for clarity at all of that, and you want it big, and you want a big message, but you don't want a big message that, boom, you lose your job. Boom, you know,
Why not? Why don't you want that? Then you're not trusting God. I'm not suggesting that isn't a scary, awful situation, but right there, you've just limited God. You've just said, here's what I want, but here's what it's got to look like. And what if losing your job is the best thing that could ever possibly happen to you? Because, oh my gosh, you get a severance package, or you get unemployment, or you get something, and you get a lead to the perfect other opportunity.
But do you have to learn your lesson through tragedy?
I totally understand what you're saying. Or through a car accident
would be another good.
Right, right.
It's like,
so that actually, I am going to be discussing that very, very specific subject the rest of the show. No, it's a great question. It's a totally great question. But the key piece is you have to decide how you're going to view a situation. And I'm not saying that a car accident wouldn't be tragic or that losing your job wouldn't be tragic. But in anything that happens to us, we have choice in how we perceive it.
Correct.
And in what we choose to do with it. There's a blessing in every single curse. We have to be willing to own that. And the more you do that, and the more you heal your belief systems, the less tragic your lessons become.
Correct.
Okay.
It's like, do you need any more tragedy?
No,
yes.
Absolutely not. And again, in fact, I'm going to skip to this very important thing to talk, because this is a perfect answer to that question. Your prayers are absolutely going to be answered. Okay, they are absolutely going to be answered. But God can only work within the parameters that we give him. And we set up those parameters via our belief systems, level of willingness, level of faith, etc. Okay, this is where daily prayer, study of spiritual laws, personal healing work, and intimate relationship with God is paramount. So here's an example. Actually was going to talk about this. So let's say you're in a situation of tremendous debt. Okay. And you're terrified you're going to have to file for bankruptcy. So you begin praying very diligently for God to deliver you from that debt by manifesting a large amount of money through some opportunity or windfall. And you're praying about that on a daily basis. You're following all the quote unquote rules, right? Okay. But let's say you have a belief system that says you're a failure and you feel constantly judged by others. And you have the corresponding shame about your current indebtedness that would naturally accompany those beliefs. Well, God wants to give you the huge windfall of money you're praying for. He does. Or he wants to give you some other awesome miracle that would free you from the situation. But because you set the parameters of failure, judgment, and shame, he's going to have to help you manifest the bankruptcy that you fear. Why? Well, it's the only option you've given him, basically. And by manifesting bankruptcy, you can continue to judge yourself as a failure. You get to feel the corresponding shame. You get to imagine or actually experience others are judging you as well. But you will be free of the debt, which is the outcome you were ultimately praying for. Does that make sense?
So basically, it's however you've held it in the past. If you've only learned your lesson through chaos, that's how chaos is going to come to you.
Yeah, let me put a little spin on that.
Okay.
The reason that you would have only learned your lessons through chaos is because you have a belief system that
Correct.
Sets you up for
that's
that.
A, yeah. That's, yeah. This is the only way that I'm going to get
the
it.
The only way you're going to get it. If you got a belief system in there that says chaos is my middle name, then guess what? Chaos is going to be your middle name. So you got to heal those belief systems.
As in people that have it, somehow it always comes in a graceful way.
Mm-hmm.
They always just believe that it's going to.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, well, that happened.
Yes.
And then boom, something better for them happens.
Exactly.
But it's, you know, it's so
system.
Right, because a lot of those people tend to be laid back people.
Yeah, you bet.
And you're like, really? You just, whatever happened.
Yeah,
they're exactly. Like, okay.
Yep.
And then something better comes along.
Right. And so that's where, again, belief system in conjunction with faith and intimate relationship with God is the key to not manifesting all these horrific situations. You're still going to have challenges in your life. You're still going to have tragedy. You're still going to have crisis. That's human condition. But it doesn't have to look like a constant barrage, a relentless barrage of, you know, tragedy. So, all right. So let's take another short break. Then when we come back, we're going to dive into the ways we resist. You are listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Don't go away. Always running for the thrill of it. Hey everyone, this is Michelle Morgan, host of Living on a Prayer, Mondays at noon Pacific here on Contact Talk Radio. You've heard me talk over and over again about belief systems, how they determine and control everything we create in our lives. Well, if you're finally ready to break your old limiting patterns so you can have the life that you really want, consider CSI. I developed the CSI program to change you at the deepest levels by finding the foundation of your patterns and creating permanent change where it will count the most. With CSI, you no longer have to try and do things differently in your life. You'll be different, and everything else will follow. Same old, or new, true you. You decide. Go to michellemorgan.org to find out more about the CSI program. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
You're listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan, and we are talking about the law of non-resistance. So, how do we resist? What does resistance look like? Well, buckle up, kids, because I'll bet you anything y'all can relate to all of these things at some point. Here we go. First of all, focusing on the negative. Okay, if a situation's difficult, then focusing on the negative is the first most obvious human response, i.e., if I look at what's wrong, I can figure out how to fix it. Unfortunately, we usually just get tangled up in the fear that negativity engenders, and then the creativity that's necessary for finding a solution actually flies right on out the window. And sometimes we can end up focusing on the negative even in positive situations. That's actually connected to the survival instinct. Imagining worst case scenarios. Anybody do that? Oh my God. I could win an Oscar for my worst case scenarios. I truly could. I'm brilliant at that. You know, the idea is if we anticipate all the potential challenges, we'll be able to avoid or overcome them, right? That's logical. All right. Again, super easy to get stuck there. Fear begets fear. And then the law of attraction can kick in and, you know, we can end up sabotaging our good by manifesting problems. Another way that we resist our good is fighting the flow of events because they're not what we expect or desire. This is what we were just talking about with Erica and Barb. When we get too focused on the how of something we want to manifest, how it's going to show up, we often end up resisting the path that will lead us to it. Remember, God is in the how, all right? And sometimes the way to our heart's desire is not at all the way we think it should or logically will be, okay? So you really, this is where the faith piece is. I can't overemphasize the faith thing. And I do overemphasize it, and I'm going to continue because it really is the key. Another way of resisting is ignoring your intuition. All right? Intuition is how God communicates his guidance. So if we shut down that part of us, a lot of women have been taught to shut that down in this culture, or we intellectualize or reason our intuitive hits away because they're not logical. And guys, you're notorious for doing that kind of thing. We're again fighting the clear path. God is going to give us clarity through very obvious signs and very obvious intuitive hits. Another classic form of resistance is blaming. When we blame other people or external situations for our problems, then we're resisting recognizing and taking responsibility for what needs to be healed within ourselves. No matter what happens, y'all, some part of us has magnetized that situation to us, that problem or that, you know, issue, in order to trigger a response. And it's up to us whether we respond proactively or reactively. The proactive response to those situations is first and foremost to get quiet, get calm, pray, connect to God, ask for the clarity, and then work with your belief systems. Do I sound like a broken record? Because that's what I am about belief systems. Can't emphasize that more. Your belief systems are determining how you're drawing this stuff to you. Another form of resistance, trying to change other people. Oh, I have never done that. I have no frame of reference for that one. You probably can't hear her, but Barb is laughing hysterically at me over here in her little cubby hole, little missy. So here's resisting the good in a situation is especially easy when we're focused on other people. We're trying to get somebody else to behave or respond differently because we think it'll quote unquote fix the challenging situation. Well, that's at best a distraction from the true gift of our own growth and healing that's being presented by the experience. There's a biblical passage in Matthew, I think it's 5:25, something like that. Agree with thine adversary quickly. Agree with thine adversary quickly. This points to a very powerful use of non-resistance. And let me explain this a little bit more. It doesn't mean that you just say yes to the guy who's pointing a gun in your face, all right? But if you first accept the way that someone is, meaning you're accepting that they are doing the things that they know how to do best because of their belief systems, etc., rather than expecting them to be different, this is where we get ourselves the most tangled up. When we expect somebody to be different than they are, okay, we're setting ourselves up right there for a problem. So if you first accept the way someone is, rather than expecting them to be different, and then you open the way for absolute clarity about what you need to change in order to change the situation. And again, if it is your path to be the truth sayer in a situation, to be the whistleblower in a situation, to be the one that stands up against the bully, you will be guided so compellingly that you won't be able to not do that. I'm not kidding you. You don't have to figure this out on your own. That's the best news of all, everybody. You get to relax a little bit because God's going to make it super clear. And then he's also going to give you the right words to say. He's going to give you the right connections. He's going to give you the right resources, everything that you could possibly need to be victorious in that situation. And on a related front, unwillingness to forgive someone else or something else is another way that we resist our good. If you're holding on to past hurts and resentments, then you're going to stay trapped in the past. And all of us have done that. I guarantee you, every single one of us has done that. Then we can't be open to receive the gifts and opportunities of the present and the future. It's pretty much that simple. There are some shows in the archives on forgiveness, really powerful shows, August 16th and 23rd of last year. Check those out if you need a little more info on the forgiveness piece. Here's one of my personal favorite ways of resisting. Praying in desperation. Praying too hard. Okay. Wow. Have I ever learned about that one in my life? See, I'm used to doing everything with gusto. Gusto. Look, if you filter my kind of passion through fear, then it instantly becomes desperation. I mean, instantly. And not just a little desperation. We're talking five-alarm fire desperation. Okay? That's that gung-ho thing, actually. We talked about it in the show on January 24th. One of my listeners wrote in about, you know, getting all psyched about something and going for it. And then, you know, you burn out. Florence Scovel Shinn has a great quote. She said, "One's ships come in over a calm sea." One's ships come in over a calm sea. There's an innate peace that comes with knowing that God's got your back. And that's why intimate relationship with God is the key to everything. Then, when our human selves raise up, which they inevitably will, in both good and bad circumstances, it's a pretty easy climb down from the ledge if we trust God for help and, most important, remember to ask. So Catherine Ponder wrote about the law of non-resistance a few years after Florence Scovel Shinn did, and Catherine Ponder refers to it as the law of agreement. And she wrote, "When you agree with life, then life agrees with you. Always there is ground for agreement. Agree and withdraw in peace." Wow. Let me tell you what, this is so much more than just positive thinking and turning the other cheek. It requires tremendous consciousness and personal accountability and a deep and abiding trust that God wants us to have the kingdom of heaven here, now, on earth, in this lifetime. All right? We must choose to believe that there is golden good in every experience, no matter what is happening in our current reality. And then we must be willing to receive that good and then pray for guidance to take right action toward it. This also goes to Erica, honey, what we were talking about with you. You know, here's this opportunity that's shown up. And yeah, there's some part of you resisting. Okay, there's a reason for that. But if you start to ask for absolute clarity and affirm right now that there's golden good in this experience and you claim it now, then you will be guided to that good. If that means you take the job and it leads to something else, or that means you go and you have a meeting with these people and you are super clear that you don't want this job. Okay, there you're going to get your guidance, I promise. So that little cool quote from Catherine Ponder, "When you agree with life, then life agrees with you. Always there is ground for agreement. Agree and withdraw in peace." Here's how that translates. Agreeing with life is trusting that everything that is happening to you has a lesson, an opportunity, and a blessing in it. All right. Finding the ground for agreement is owning that you drew that situation to you for the lesson, the opportunity, and the blessing. All right. You are not a victim. You didn't just twiddle your thumbs and trip over this circumstance. Okay. You brought it to you. That's not this blame thing. It's not a judgment on you. You don't have a weak character that you drew in a challenge. Some part of you needs to be seen. And some lesson, some opportunity, and some extraordinary blessing is literally just dying to be claimed here. Withdrawing in peace is turning away from the experience and turning towards God. Using prayer to claim your good, ask for guidance, affirm your desires, etc. Okay? Hugely important note on that. We draw into our lives people and situations that agree with our belief systems. So agreeing that a challenging situation actually works for you on some level is, in fact, the beginning of appreciating, honoring, blessing, and releasing that challenge. Agreeing that a situation works with your beliefs is a very powerful way to utilize the law of non-resistance, or the law of agreement, whatever you want to call it. You're not fighting the situation, but rather you're choosing to honor it, and then you can use it as a tool to heal, grow, and expand to your good. So using that earlier example of the bankruptcy situation and the law of non-resistance, you would choose to recognize the bankruptcy as a manifestation of your failure beliefs, agreeing that it, quote unquote, fits your belief systems, and then you'd get help to change those beliefs. And by the way, in that phase of this process, when you choose to recognize that you've manifested this huge problem because of your belief systems, you're not going to necessarily be all yippy-skippy about that. You're not going to be happy about that. It's painful, and it's humbling, and it's scary to own those aspects of ourselves, to own the shadow of our nature. But that's the first, most important step to getting the good out of it. Because where's the treasure, kids? What am I always telling you? Where's the treasure? The treasure's in the darkness, always buried in the darkness. Okay? So then you get help to change those beliefs so that you don't ever have to go through that again. And by appreciating the fact that you were now out of debt, you would be recognizing and acknowledging the good in the situation, and then you would choose to work with God through prayer and spiritual study to expand your thinking so you could offer more positive parameters for God to work through in the future. I've told you this before. God's hands are tied if we don't untie them. He can only do through us, excuse me, he can only do for us what he can do through us, and we absolutely set it up how he can work through us. Great affirmation prayer from Florence Scovel Shinn on this very subject. Adverse appearances work for my good, for God utilizes every person and every situation to bring to me my heart's desire. Love that one. Have we got May on the phone lines? We're going to go to the phones right now. We have May in New Mexico. May, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, babe. How are you?
Well, I'll be better.
Okay.
Here's my scenario.
Okay.
I was in a very long marriage. Loved him dearly. He hurt me deeply over and over.
Okay.
Sexual immorality, jealousy, just really bad.
Okay.
And I've been gone nearly 2 years. I left him.
Okay.
But I am still so attached. I want to stop thinking about him. I want to move on. I want to create a better life. And that's why I'm calling you.
All right, sweetheart. Tell me what you are astrologically. What's your sign?
Taurus, May 1st.
I love Tauruses are so awesome. Man, they don't let go of anything. Taurus just hangs on to the bitter end. That's one of the gifts. Everything's got a gift and a curse, May. Everything has a gift and a curse, okay? The curse of that can be obvious. You're dealing with the curse of that stick-to-itiveness. But the blessing, I mean, think about that. Tauruses can outlast anybody in the step-by-step-by-step to make something happen. So it's a good thing. It's just that it's working against you right now, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You bet. You betcha. So how long ago did you leave?
Almost 2 years.
Okay. Well, first of all, babe, just let me give you a little perspective on that. 2 years is not a very long time, okay? It can seem like a really long time. How long were you married?
43.
You were married for 43 years?
Yes.
And you left him 2 years ago, and you think you should be over him by now? Is that the...
I want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to be.
You bet. Mm-hmm. So I want to give you a couple little perspective tweaks, okay? First of all, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think you're being pretty hard on yourself about this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. You have a pretty high standard right now. And I'm telling you something. This is cultural, okay? This is totally cultural. When we go through a heartbreak like that, a loss, because it's a huge loss, then there is this weird expectation. It's the quick fix thing that, you know, within a matter of days or possibly weeks at the outset, we should be quote unquote over it. There's no way, you know, I mean, this is huge for you. And it's bigger than just even losing this man. It's the death of who you were. It's the death of who you thought you should be. It's the death of all the possibility that was inherent in that relationship, because that's why we get into relationship, because it's all possibility, right?
Right.
So there's a whole lot of things going on there, okay? And I can promise you, you were in a 43-year relationship with a man who did not treat you very well, not by accident, but by virtue of belief systems and family legacies. So you're also grieving a very huge chunk of a truth that you've been carrying. It took tremendous courage for you to leave that situation, did it not?
Yes, it did.
Absolutely. Are you giving yourself credit for that?
I do.
Good. Good girl. Yeah.
I do. It was either do or die.
Yeah, absolutely, sweetheart. Well, let me tell you something. You got to give yourself credit, because a lot of people would choose the die piece, not necessarily physically dying, but the feminine dies by degrees. It's a very slow, quiet demise of the soul when you're in that type of a situation. So here's what I'm going to really tell you that I want you to do, and I'm going to send you some big time angels on this. You have got to, first of all, own and honor and respect the grieving process that you are still in. All right. 2 years compared to 43 is a teeny weeny period of time. That doesn't mean that you need to grieve proportionately, like, okay, for the next 43 years, you're going to grieve. No, I'm not saying that. But you know what? 2 years is not that long. There's a concept in the 12-step programs for addicts that talk about the first year, the first 12 months of sobriety. Every single day, you're white knuckling it, because it's every single day, it's something brand new. Okay. You have to celebrate a 12-month harvest cycle of every holiday, every personal milestone, every season, every astrological confluence. Everything is brand new, right? Without the substance, you're having that. So the first year is basically just survival. Second year is actually harder. Because the second year, you know, you're in the rhythm of being sober, but now you have to start making decisions. You have to start making choices. You have to start actually proactively living your life. You're not just going, oh my gosh, today is, you know, such and such's birthday, and I don't know if I can handle this without a drink. So you're still in that second phase, if you will, where the first year you were just surviving, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bet. So give yourself a big old break on this, please. All right. And tell me a little bit about your relationship with God. How do you and he hang out?
I pray a lot.
Okay.
I talk to him. I sing, I hum, I pray.
Okay.
I pray.
Okay.
That got me through 40 years. That's got me through the last almost two.
Yeah, you bet.
Pray.
You bet. Good. Mm-hmm. So I want you to up that a little bit from the standpoint of, I want you to pray for the willingness to receive, because my sense of you is that that does not come easy. Is that true?
To receive from God.
To receive good in any situation. My sense is you're much more of a giver than you are a receiver. Is that true?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. To the extent that I would say you flirt with martyrdom at times, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So stop flirting. let's break up with the martyr thing, okay? I want you to start to work on praying for the willingness to receive. Okay. And I also want you to do some forgiveness prayer for yourself. It's true that you need to forgive this ex-husband of yours, no question about that, but there's a deeper need for forgiveness, and that is around forgiving yourself. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to go back to those shows that I mentioned earlier in August, the 16th and 23rd. The shows back then in the archives are all about forgiveness, some great forgiveness prayers in there. If you want, shoot me an email and I will send you a really powerful prayer program on release that's got some awesome stuff in it. I'll be very happy to do that for you. Because that's where your focus needs to lie for a little while here. In fact, even I'm getting the sense that the next 5-6 months even. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's something astrological going on that's supporting this for you. It just feels like this very focused period of truly letting go. I mean, you let go by walking away, but now the next step is letting go of this longing and this grief and everything else that's going on for you. And forgiveness is the only way that you're going to allow yourself to purely grieve. Because right now you're grieving, but you're also upset with yourself. And so that's not a good mix. Does that make sense?
It does. And astrologically, do you see a break coming?
Well, astrologically, since I'm not an astrologer, but I do know what's coming, there's huge energy lifts that are happening over the course of the next few months. March in particular, there's a shift astrologically that's going to make things lighter for people, a lot more forward movement. For you, psychically, when I'm looking at this, there's absolutely a break, but I'm going to qualify that. The break that I see, the energetic break, is coming for you probably around, I want to say, the tail end of August, early September. That doesn't mean that you're just going to be miserable between now and then. It means that you need to use this time to consciously do that releasing so that you can get the break. The break's going to happen, but if you're still loaded up with all of this stuff you haven't let go of energetically and emotionally, you're going to miss the break. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity will sweep on in and sweep right past you. So I want you to do that. Work on forgiveness and work on willingness to receive. Shoot me an email. I'll send you that prayer program. And then I want to hear from you in the next little while, a month or so. Okay. I want you to call me back and let's see how you're doing, okay?
And with your cards, can you see, his birthday is July 15th. Can you see any improvement or in his health?
Well, I'll tell you what, sweetheart, we are coming to the end of my show, so unfortunately, okay, I'm not going to be able to go there. But you know what else is really interesting? Your guides are shaking their heads going, we're not talking about him. We are not talking about him. He is not the focus. You are the focus. I'm more worried about your health than I would ever be about his.
Yeah.
So do those prayers, and I want to hear back from you, okay?
Okay.
All right, darling, I'm going to send you a lot of angels. Thank you so much for calling.
I appreciate your help.
Okay,
thank
baby,
you, so
you take good care.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, this is tough stuff. I'm telling you what, that and resisting your good can look like hanging on to the past big time, okay? So practicing the law of non-resistance means trusting that God can take anything that comes into your life and use it to lead you to your highest good. Even if it's a manifestation of your own limiting beliefs, even if it's a tragedy or a crisis, you don't have to like the experience when it shows up. But if you refuse to resist it, if you choose to believe that there's good in it, affirm your willingness to receive that good, pray for God's guidance in changing your limitations, and then follow that guidance, you're not only guaranteed to manifest your heart's desires, people, but you'll be spiritually strong enough to maintain and expand those desires in absolutely miraculous ways. So here's a couple of quick affirmations for you. There is golden good in this experience, and I claim it now. And I grow along with my good. I flow along with my good. All right. Next week, accepting yourself. Terry, we're going to talk about your subject, babe. Accepting yourself. That's a loaded one. We're going to have some fun with that. Thank you so much for listening today. If you feel that you've personally benefited from this show and you'd like to help me continue to reach other listeners like yourself, I've made it easy. Would love for you to go to the radio show page at michellemorgan.org. Click the donate button and it'll take you straight into PayPal. It's an easy, safe way to contribute. And believe me, any amount is appreciated. It helps me keep this show going. And I really want to thank everyone for their support. If you like today's show and you want to email it to people you know who might like it too, the show will be up in the archives in the next day or so at michellemorgan.org on the radio show page. And if you love the music, and who doesn't, Barbie, you rock. Go to iTunes, download the songs. I will have the list posted on my Facebook fan page. And we've already told you how to get onto Facebook, right? You know you want to. You know you do. Go to the links box on the right side of any page on my website. It'll take you straight into Facebook and you can get signed up and be part of the fam. All right. Hope everybody has a great week. Be sure to tune in next week, 12 noon Pacific on contacttalkradio.com or 106.9 HD3 in Seattle. Barb, thanks, baby girl. And I'll see you next week. Take care, everybody. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Be good.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.